As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to Love My Renovation Project. We're going to discuss everything regarding renovation, whether it's using the FHA 203K, the home style mortgage, VA. My dog wants to get in on the show. The VA renovation mortgage, or any one of six other renovation products that are out there. Glad you showed up. And well, most 203Ks go off without a hitch. Every once in a while, you have a problem. And you've got nobody to talk to on your side of the equation that actually understands the 203K program. If you're a homeowner and you're looking for help and you say, oh my God, I went to the lender's no help. They funded the loan, they've already sold it to somebody else. My consultant is just asking me to sign things off that I don't like or that are not done right. I want them fixed. Nobody's listening to me. Well, feel free to go to 203k911.com and let us know about your issues, and we'll help you walk you through some solutions. And it's a self-help program, so we're gonna show you or tell you what we need to get you to do it on your own. If for some reason you feel, and by the way, that's all free, 100%, no cost. If for some reason you feel that you just at your wit's end and you can't do anything about it, and you want someone else to stand in for you, there is a nominal fee for that, which we'll discuss when you contact us with your issues. Anyway, if you've got a topic you'd like to hear us discuss in more specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, again, go to 203k911.com, scroll down to the contact form, and let us know your issues. If you want to be on our radio show program today, it's 888-627-6008. Toll free and be on part of our show and help us get the information, get your questions answered. I guarantee if you have a question, whether you're a consultant, a lender, or a home buyer, if you have a question, there's at least 1,000 people out there that are just not, I don't know how to use this term. They are afraid to ask, I guess. They don't want to be on the air or whatever. But they would love to hear your questions, and they would love to hear your answers, our answers. So apologize. I've been gone the last three weekends. The last three shows have been pre-recorded, but we're back, and I feel so rested. I tell you, we got out of Reading just in time. My son-in-law lives on Oasis Drive, and there, after we left, like the day and a half after we left, there was a big fire, another fire in Reading. I think it's all under control now. But they closed off Oasis Drive. They wouldn't let anybody come or go. They told everybody to pack your bags. You're going to be, there may be an evacuation. So the kids did that. They did not have to evacuate. They were given the all clear signal. So it panned out okay. Anyway, let's get right into it today here. Realtors, I think every home sold should be a renovation loan. I've made that statement many times. And that's it's quite a statement, but if you think about it, even if you're selling a house with brand new carpeting, what's under it? What did they cover up? It may have not covered up anything, but we did one years ago in Orinda, California. That's not right. It's not Orinda, but it's close. The thing we did was the client wanted hardwood floors or engineered hardwood floors. It had brand spanking new carpet in there, which she was happy to have somebody haul away. So when we pulled that carpet up and looked, there was cat and dog urine all over in two corners of the room. Eventually, that smell would have come through her carpet had she left the carpet there. It would probably come through the hardwood, engineered hardwood floors, too. So she had her contractor clean out most of that. I think he even had to cut out some of the stained wood. It was so bad and reeked. Oh, my gosh, goodness, it reeked of cats. Now, you may be a cat lover, but I don't think you want that smell in your carpet. Maybe when the home was built, it was wonderful. But today, you know, many people remove a wall between the kitchen and the living room, open the floor plan up. Why not set it up now when they buy it to get that done? A few years ago, we had one in Napa, California. And I only mention these California projects because I lived there for many years, from the time I was growing up until recently, about a year and a half ago. So we did have a couple of years where we lived in Georgia, in Columbus, Georgia, when I was a drill sergeant in the United States Army. And we had another stint where we lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, for a while. So I worked in North and South Carolina quite a bit. But the one in Napa, it had, there was a wall all around you at the entry, with the hall going to the bedrooms and another leading to the living room. But the site, when you stepped into the room, was walls were everywhere. You couldn't go anywhere. You had a box, a foyer, if you will. But the borrowers took out every one of those walls. They had an engineer come in, show them what it would take, and they took out every wall in that area, except the bathroom walls, of course, and some bedroom walls off to the side. But they ended up with a wonderful, great room. And from the front door, you could see all the way across the room, living room, family room, whatever you wanted to call it, all the way to the kitchen, so you could see someone preparing meals at the kitchen when you walked in the house. That's pretty cool. So the entry, dining room, living room, kitchen was all one massive room. Then they added some glass all the way across the back wall, so when you stepped in the front room, you could literally see through the glass wall in the back out to the backyard, where they added a large deck, a large wooden deck with steps down the sides. It was quite dramatic, a very dramatic effect. So much that can be done with these houses. If a realtor is ever selling a house and the roof looks questionable, you know, chances are you're going to get an appraiser to say it's got 2 years remaining economic life. But what if you don't? Just make it a 203K, close the loan, and then the work begins. So you can get the roof replaced after the fact. I never, never will forget that one roof I saw. It was actually as an appraiser. They had brand new shingles on the top layer, but I could see layer after layer after layer. And the roof was scalloped, grossly scalloped. So I went ahead and called for a roof inspection at that time, because it wasn't the 203K. I wanted to know exactly what's going on. And the realtor went ballistic on me and started telling me, you can see this brand new shingles. Why are you calling for a roof inspection? And it seemed like it was about 3 months later when I got a phone call to go out and do a re-inspect, because the roof had been replaced. And I thought, yeah, wow, I thought that deal died, because I hadn't heard anything in such a long time. It doesn't take that long to put a roof on. When I pulled up, you know, just down the street from the house, had to walk back to it, the realtor was running towards me. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, do we have to go ballistic again? But it was not the same realtor. It really was the same realtor, but it wasn't the same attitude. He was so thankful. Thank you so much for catching that roof issue. Turns out there were 7 layers of roofing on that house. So, and that's what caused the scalp effect. If you look at it now, it's straight across top. You just got one layer of roofing there. Roofer told me that a slightest earthquake would have probably sent that roof right down on top of my clients. And luckily, he liked to market to those same clients every 3 or 4 years when they buy a new house. He'd like to be the one selling it. So that's where we were. And it worked out fine, and he was very apologetic for his previous actions, and I appreciated that. So, quite often when you're moving walls, you got a hallway, and you got bedrooms on both sides of the hallway, and then you've got a bathroom at the end and a master bedroom off to the side, but the masters in those days didn't have a bathroom. So you could easily take a wall out and make that a master suite and add a bathroom somewhere else. I had a lovely couple in South Carolina that we worked for. They had a house. They just had an unexpected news that their wife was pregnant again and she was going to have another baby, and the house just wasn't big enough for an extended family. But they had a complete above-ground basement or utility room. So they finished that off and turned it into some extra rooms, additional rooms. And it worked out just fantastic. So I can't tell you enough. There's so many things you can do. When we used to do gobs and gobs of these, we were doing, as many as 30 a week in our little company. And back in 94, 95, 96, through 98 even. And we had 15 consultants working for us that worked on my computers in our offices. So we gave them 1 to 2 a day, depending on their desires. Some of them wanted to work more and would handle 2 a day, and some couldn't handle 2 a day if they wanted to on their best day. So what we did was we would have all kinds of ideas and became quite good at showing people how to enhance their equity by changing a few things around. We had a wonderful client in El Cerrito, California, who, as you walked into their house, the first thing you saw was the living room. And as you walked towards the back of the house, when the house was on a downslope, fairly steep downslope, and from this little window in the back of the house in the kitchen, you could see 3 bridges. If you looked, you could see the San Rafael Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, and the Oakland Bay Bridge, San Francisco Bay Bridge. So there was no thought when they built this house as to design it for that view. And the view can enhance the value of your house substantially. So what they did, they ended up changing and relocating everything. So when you walk into the house now, you walk into a hallway. Instead of opening into the living room, you walk into a short hallway that took you to the back. And off to the left there was your massive great room. The kitchen was in the front of the house. So while you're doing dishes and so forth, looking out the front window of your house, you can see what guests are coming. Or people were coming out in front of your home. But in the back, they made that one extended glass wall all the way across and around the corner. The only thing between those glass was in the corner. They put a beam, and then they put a long I-beam and put glass panels. They must have been 1/2 inch thick. But when they came together, they were merely glued. So there was no post or no obstruction to the view. And it was magnificent. I think they bought that for about $300,000. They put about $300,000 into it. And as I recall, it appraised for $1.6 million. They did some other enhancements. They put a new roof on it. They did some siding work on the outside. Unique. I had never seen this done on a house before. But they put on some stained wood paneling that was in planks, and it was beautiful. When they finished, it was quite a deal. Anyway, if you want to join us today and be part of the show, we appreciate that. You can call us at 888 877-627-6008. In the meantime, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with you.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Welcome back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. I'm glad to be back with you. I really enjoy what we do, and if we can help you in any way, please feel free to give us a call and see if we can do that and make things happen for you. If things aren't going right, or if you found out that you may have picked the wrong team, the homeowners required or must approve the consultant. The lender has to choose a consultant that has been vetted, that they have used before, or at least checked out their source, their work, product, to see that it meets their standards. But sometimes you get past all that and still you find you didn't make the right choice. If you need help in that regard, we're happy to do that. I remember one lady who was the name of the company was Coons and Young, if I remember right. The Young is no relation to us out of Antioch. We went out at 7 o'clock in the morning to do a talk there. And I was looking at the leaderboard they had out there with the pictures of all their agents and who was their number one. And the number one person I had just been had a lot of dealing with over the phone, helped them get a 203K close quickly. And I noticed that she was their number one source. Long blonde hair. Not that that matters, but it does matter in a minute. When I got in the room, everybody was talking. This room was set up for meetings. I was at the head of the table. They introduced me. But everybody was continuing to talk in their own little cliques and take care of business, but they weren't listening to me. So I asked if that young lady was in the room, and here she was, sitting right in the front. But now the long blonde hair wasn't there. She had brunette hair, darker. And I said, oh, it's not nice to change the color of your hair or change the picture outside so we can recognize you. I'd never met her, so I didn't know what to think. Anyway, I looked at her square in the eye and I said, my name's Mike Young. She immediately stood up, walked around in front of everybody and gave me a planted kiss on my cheek. And said thank you very much and sat back down. But what did that do for me? It got everyone's attention. And that's what I was trying to do. The people were no longer talking. How can you talk when the number one salesperson in your company is paying attention to the speaker and you're not? So that I got all their attention. And I explained that I got a call from a consultant who was working on their first 203K with a lender who was doing their first 203K, and this young lady who was doing her first 203K. Very, very difficult to close a 203K fast when everybody in the cycle is brand new, doing their first 203K. For those who are listening and don't know what a 203K is, this is an FHA product. You can get an FHA loan to purchase and fix up the house, or refinance it and fix up a house, all in one simple low-interest loan. If you're looking at doing a home equity loan, it can work if you have enough equity, but you're going to increase your monthly mortgage payment and so forth. But if you're going with a construction loan, that's crazy because the FHA 203K is about half, maybe even less than half of the interest rate. And it's for 30 years, so you don't have to renew it after 6 or 9 months or maybe a year and get a new, pay new points and so forth again. So they closed their first 203K with my help as any of them had an issue and they wanted to know about it, they would get me on a conference call, ask the question, I'd explain how it works. And I believe they closed their first 203K, everybody brand new, in 30 to 35 days, which is not bad at all. In Pinole, we had a brand new lender doing her first 203K, and I said, if you want to close them fast, just concentrate on your work for the 203B, because a 203K is exactly the same as a 203B, except it has a construction budget too. So if you can close 203Bs in 15 to 30 days, then you can close a 203K in 15 to 30 days. I had one young lady doing her first in South Carolina, and she closed her first 203K, full 203K, in 21 days. And called me and said, why does it tell everybody, why is everybody saying it takes 45 to 60 days? I said, because you got people out there doing their best to do everyone's job or look over everyone's shoulder. There's a lot of micromanagers out there, but a micromanager involved with a construction loan is going to actually slow the process down because they're breaking everyone's concentration and calling everyone and says, how's it going? And they haven't even got their job done. So when I close a 203K, particularly with a new 203K lender, we always school them and explain to them, race me to the finish line. Get the 203B paperwork ready as fast as you can. Don't let anything get in your way. Particularly, don't call me and get in my way. And we do our best. It usually comes together in 2 or 3 weeks. And, typically we put our bid together in 4 days. Quite often, sometimes we can do it in a day. It just depends on the project and how big it is. We just did a $529,000 bid, and it took me 5 days, I think. We turned it in the 5th day. But we have it down to a science. We know what we're doing, and we can get it done quickly, except if you're calling every hour to see how things are going. If you're doing that, then you're wasting our time and yours, frankly. So we ask that you give us the 5 days. If you give us the 5 days, you'll rarely have, if ever, have to call us and see how things are going. So realize that this is a team effort. One thing, when you're writing a bid specification for your consultants out there that are listening, when you write a bid specification, you want to write it in such a way that it leaves no room for questions. So if a lender contacts you, if anybody contacts you, a contractor contacts you and asks for clarification on a bid item, then use that as a learning experience and realize you didn't write that specification clear enough. And next time, write it more clearly. Okay? So just pay attention to what you're writing and make sure that there's no room for error. If you have room for error and somebody asks you a question, say, you know what, I should have written that clearer. You can write a long specification, a very detailed spec, and sometimes that's a better thing to do on some of these specs. So the key is you've got to be understandable. Your bid specification as written should be easily understood by anybody in the trade or anybody in the business. So, quite often when we get started on a 203K and the contractor's a brand new contractor, he'll want to know, well, can we meet at the site? I'd like to go over things with you. Yeah, well, my response to that is, why don't you let me get the specification of repairs written so you know what it is we're going to go out there and look at. And then and only then, if you want me to go out there, we will, if it's necessary. I've never found it necessary, frankly. One, I make him pay me a fee to go back out there. It's not free. My time is not free. And that's 350 plus mileage. So if he wants me to drive back out there and meet him, I'm happy to do that, but it will not be free. So have the cash there ready for me when I get there. So Now, we can talk about that. If you write your specification clear enough, and most of the time the contractor actually sees the specs, he says, hey, we don't need to go out there. This is very, very clear. He was an architect coming, I believe, out of Kansas, moving to Oakland, California, and he bought a hillside property and wanted to renovate it before they moved into it. And being an architect, he had some specific ideas in mind. So he had a front yard that had a deep downslope to the back, and then an alley way down at the bottom, and then another access where he can come off another road and get into his garage, walk up the rear steps to the back of his house and get in. When I got there, his job was estimated at $240,000 in construction. So I explained to him that his bid is probably going to cost, what I do is going to cost approximately 1% or $2,400. And he says, you want that check right now? So he wrote that check and handed it to me with very little questions. He's a professional. He's in the business. He's going to do all the plans needed for the house, for the remodeling, updating. So I took off, and 3 or 4 days later, I emailed him the package. And he called me up, and he says, oh, my God. This is wonderful. I had no idea what I was paying you, $2,400. But he says, you could have charged me 2 or 3 times that much for all this detail. He says, I am very impressed with what you do. And I'm not saying that for me. Consultants do that. If you've got a good consultant, they're going to write a specification of repairs that doesn't leave anything for the contractor to question. In this case, the homeowner was the architect. And as such, the homeowner is going to answer most questions that are going to come up directly to the contractor. So when they come out to do the bid, the homeowner is walking through with them with the bid specification in hand. With our software, we print the bid specification with no prices on it and send that out to the contractor to bid. Wonderful. Wonderful process. We've been doing it for a long time. I think consultants were invented in 1994, and we got in on the ground floor. I think we were number 3 or 4 in San Francisco Bay Area. Now we're in Las Vegas, Nevada, and that's where we're broadcasting from today. I'm glad you tuned in. We appreciate that. Okay, let's see where we got. Specifications. Sediment cracks. Every once in a while, you're walking through a house with a homeowner and there's cracks everywhere, particularly in the Bay Area where you have a lot of tremors. I heard somewhere or read somewhere that just like 240 minor earthquakes or tremors per month in California. And I don't doubt it. You're going to get some cracking. I've seen houses that are 100 years old or better that have no cracking whatsoever. And then I've seen brand new houses that have cracking in the drywall. Well, sediment cracks are typically, in older homes, cracks that run in straight lines along the edges of boards or at the door frames, typically are inferior workmanship during the original construction in many cases. Just the lack of enough nailing. It's the cracks that are diagonal in nature that concern us most of the time. Why are those cracks there? That typically, you got a diagonal crack running across the center of a room from the floor to the far corner. You've got some major shifting going on, and we need to get under the house and figure out why, or get out in front and figure it out. But I had, did I have that here? We had one that we looked at with a brand new consultant I was training. He happened to be a structural contractor. So he's used to structural issues and repairing them. And we walked through the house as consultants. And we had one of them that had a quarter inch wide crack. And on the other side of the room, it went down to nothing, came together. So it clearly looked to me like the house was falling away because the crack was high on the inside wall. On both sides, by the way, it looked like it was falling away from the house. So we probably had to put a dead man or something like that into the foundation. But I expected to see a drainage problem out there, and he was very adamant. He says, there's no way in hell you can tell what you just said, that you can support it from inside. So I did it again. And I said, well, let's go outside and see where we are. And he ran out, put his coveralls on. He climbed under the house. He didn't want to look at the outside. And then after he came up, he said, there's definitely something going on out there. And I said, well, let's go look at the outside. I was trying to get you to look at first. I said, I expect a drainage issue. And what we had was 60-foot long wall with a one single downspout, gutter all the way down, 7 1/4-inch gutter all the way down the side of the house with one downspout, a drop outlet. Actually, there was no downspout. And it came right down in the middle, right in the middle of a big window. So they popped the downspout there. They put the drop outlet there, opening that up, expecting to put a downspout attached to it, and then realized, oh my God, we can't put a downspout in front of that window. So instead of plugging it and putting in a couple more elsewhere where it made more sense, they left it that way, and that water fell 8 feet to the ground and had dug a hole right outside this dining room where the cracks were exposed. So that's about it. When we're take another short break, call us if you want to be part of the show at 888-627-6008. So hang in there. We'll be right back after this short break.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
$350, and then he's going to bill escrow for $900. And 3 or 4 weeks go by when she called me back and said, by the way, you were right. That's what he did. It's exactly what he did. He charged me $350 to come out today. And lo and behold, he charged another $900. So you would have been $350 cheaper than the other guy. I said, there are all kinds of ways for people to get more money out of you. Be careful. Buyer beware, huh? I always fall back on this one that I did for a lady. She said, I did my consultation, adding a half of a second floor because the local zoning said that she couldn't have a complete second floor because her lot was too small. So she was only going to get a half of a second floor. Maybe in a couple of years she could do the other half, but for right now it was governed by the limitation of the zoning, which said she could only go up another, 300 square feet of house. And I bid it at $159,000, and I bid it in 4 days. Her contractor took four and a half weeks or 5 weeks and came in at $298,000. Well, the difference between $159,000 and $298,000 is way too much. You can have a bid that's 10, 15, even 20% high and be a good bid, a fair bid, because he may just use better quality workers or subcontractors. But she was in shock. First off, she was calling me all kinds of information in unique names and wondering if I actually knew what I was doing. So she wanted me to come out with a new contractor, and I said, you picked the first one. Why don't you get on the phone book and find another one? Well, the second contractor she picked came in at $161,000 versus my $159,000. So she knew that the $298,000 was somebody's idea of getting rich on her, making an extra $100,000 for a project. That's a little too much markup. And that's part of the consultant's job, is to keep the client safe from unscrupulous contractors. Now, I had one guy do a job for a client in Concord, California. She already had a bid when she came to us, and their bid was like $439,000. But she had to bring $50,000 worth of equipment and materials to the job. So it was $489,000, including all that had to be done. And after I put my bid together without referring to his bid, except for the scope, I called the contractor and I said, guys, something's wrong here. You seem to be way off on some of these numbers. And they confessed that, well, what we want to do is we don't want to be the highest guy on the market, but we want to be so close on his shirt tails that we get the job. Okay. I understand what you're saying. But my bid was closer to $289,000, not $489,000, and include all those that $50,000 worth of materials that the homeowner was going to have to put together. And instead of just patching the lath and plaster interior walls, we were ripping all of them out. Removing a demo was extensive. We were opening walls. We were doing a lot of things that the initial contractor didn't do, and the new contractor did it for $289,000 plus. I put in a 20% contingency just in case. And what they ended up doing with that is putting a retaining wall in the backyard and a big patio. It was a beautiful home when they finished with it, at $200,000 less than the competition. So you got a consultant earns their keep in many ways. So if you're thinking, well, let's see, why do we have to use a consultant? Well, you might want to rethink that. If you get a good consultant, they can save many times their fee. Let's see, what is this one? Oh, I was working on one right now. The contractor bid came in at 168, but I couldn't justify more than 125,000. I sent it out to bid to two other contractors. One came back at 86 plus contingency, and the other was 120 plus contingency. It's very important to allow the consultant time to review everything and provide his or her very own independent bid numbers. So talking to the contractors, making sure they hadn't missed profit and overhead, which is quite often what they miss, because there's no line item for it. It has to be built into each local line item. The $86,000 contractor said, I'm absolutely positive I can do this for that. So $168,000 versus $86,000. That was just in the process of closing now. But the next step would be to get a work write-up. Okay, get a work write-up. So the homeowner, you got the bid, that's just part of the entire work write-up. Okay, so you got to violate it. Typically what we do is we bid a job, and we give that, and the lender can actually start working on the loan, getting it closing, even get an appraisal, because the only thing that's going to change is possibly the cost of doing the work. But the scope is not going to change at that point. We've got the scope out there. So the work write-up consists of a lot of different paperwork that the, and not just the bid spec, but a quasi-home inspection that we have to tell everybody is not a home inspection at all. It's a bid inspection. So we go out there and look at the property to see what it needs so we can bid the job. We have to create the scope. And that's what that inspection is for. If you've got a home and you lived in it for years and you're doing a refinance, do you need a home inspection other than that one that comes with your consultation? Likely not. If you're buying a brand new house and you want a home inspection, that's certainly your prerogative. And many times the consultant can perform that home inspection. But the construction component is the only difference between a 203B and a 203K. In fact, when the work is finished, the loan is actually a 203B loan. By the way, all FHA loans are assumable. They always have been. You just have to qualify for the loan and you can assume the loan. But the work write-up consists of a summary page that we call the work write-up, and it includes architectural exhibits. Architectural exhibits may or may not be blueprints. So if you're doing a simple renovation project, your architectural exhibits would be your inspection of the property in writing and your bid specification and your consultant agreement, now sometimes referred to as the allowable fees agreement. But in any case, all these exhibits are considered architectural exhibits, even though they may or may not have blueprints. I noticed in one of the blogs for consultants that was out there in the last few weeks, they were talking about what program do you use to create the blueprints. Well, guys, if you're not an architect or an engineer, why are you creating blueprints? If you need blueprints, then use an appraiser sketch program, which are relatively inexpensive, maybe $125 a year, something like that. There's other ones out there cheaper than that, maybe $125, $1, one payment. Somebody told me they had a $39.95 program, and they wish they could find it, but it's not available anymore. But they were happy that they found it. And that's fine. Any of that stuff is available. You don't have to have architectural renderings to get started. In fact, I tell my clients, if you already have blueprints being drawn up, that's great. I'll do an appraiser sketch to get this thing off dead center because the appraiser just needs that. You give them an as-is sketch and you give them an after-improved sketch. I always draw interior walls, approximate interior walls, so that it kind of gives you the feel. You can walk through and see if the house is flowing properly. But in any case, that work write-up is where you would go next. you want to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free. We're going to be right back after our last break of the day, and then we'll be here till it's over. So hang in there with us. We'll be right back.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. In any case, the paperwork that we submit as a consultant, and you as a homeowner, you need to know that you don't have to have a full home inspection regardless. You can just go by the consultant's inspection. You do not have to have a standard home inspection. You could certainly have one. That's your prerogative. But don't get bullied into having one. And we noticed that particularly on the East Coast, there's quite a few people that are being taught to ask for a contractor's bid before you go out and get them to pay you for a home inspection. So when you go out there, you can learn about this. A standard home inspection runs about anywhere from 50 to 100 pages. And lots of photographs with arrows and pointing to the deficiency and a deficiency report. If you have a home inspection already completed by someone else, you do not need to buy another one by this consultant. So don't be bullied into buying something you don't need. If you just don't want to do a full home inspection, a consultation includes a walkthrough by the consultant so they can determine what's broken. Therefore, they can determine what needs to be fixed. And that is included in your consultation fee. There's no such thing as a trip fee out to the house. If you guys are walking on eggs when you're charging all these extraneous fees without justification. Anyway, when the paperwork is ready to submit to the lender, they can order the appraisal. Our trained consultants will actually turn in a completed set of paperwork to the client and the lender, providing all the paperwork needed except the maximum mortgage worksheet, which we can supply, but we don't or not typically ask for it. And that way, the lender doesn't have to do as much handwork. When you think of this, and in many cases our work is completed in 2 to 7 days, it's quite a responsibility. Some projects take a little longer, but I know dozens of consultants that actually take a second party with them and get two inspections. We were a training office for years and years and years, and I almost always had a trainee with me so I could get his take on the deficiencies as well as mine. Where was I? Oh, I was at a George Strait concert last night. We saw he's part of a group that provides free houses to vets. They've done over 300 of them so far. And I guess George Strait helps raise money for these people to the tune of nearly $3 million so far. And then he also is the weight of the badge.com. He has that song where he talks about the weight of the badge and how hard it is to leave your house every day, put your life in danger on the streets of the United States, and be of service. And that's another potential. But I wonder if they know about the Good Neighbor Next Door programs that are out there. If you don't know about them, you should. Realtors who specialize in FHA foreclosures. Particularly need to know about the Good Neighbor Next Door programs. Now, the good neighbors are officers, EMT, firemen, and then we have the teachers next door. So it can be officer next door or teacher next door make up the Good Neighbor Next Door programs. They used to have a program, and I haven't seen it lately or anything talked about it, where the Good Neighbor program included neighbors buying a HUD foreclosure and getting a major discount because they're going to get it fixed up, and it helps their property values too as that house gets fixed up and sold to a decent neighbor that's going to be living in the house, not a landlord who might be renting it to a different tenant every month, depending on the neighborhood. But let's start with the Officers Next Door program, which includes anyone who wears a badge to work in an official government practice, okay? Not private security guards, but yes, for EMT, fire department, police officers who risk their lives every day of the year. Prison guards have been lumped into that because they wear a badge to work as well. But the key is that these people get to bid on a FHA foreclosed property. So let's say they get on that foreclosed list with their realtor, because it has to be made via a realtor, and the realtor sees a house that these people are just in awe. That's in our neighborhood. We want to live there. That's the house we want. Let's bid on it. How much are they asking? Well, HUD has done an appraisal and based their asking price on that appraised value. So maybe that appraised value is $300,000. So you've got this house. It's foreclosed. It's owned by FHA. They are now going to sell it for $300,000, and they're taking bids. Well, you can bid anything you want, but most people are going to be bidding $270,000, $250,000, $295,000, $300,000. But your client is going to bid $300,010. Now, why would he do that? And this goes for teachers next door, too. If you're a bona fide K-12 teacher, you go to school every day and teach students, then you can get in on this too. Same scenario. Once you make the offer, you flash your badge. You let them know you're a teacher. You let them know that you're a police officer, EMT, guard. And what they do is they're going to turn around and give you a 50% discount off of their asking price or your offer, provided it's less than the asking price, where it's more than the asking price, like you just offered $10 more than the asking price. And you got to, I caution you on that. Some people say, I'm going to offer $50,000 more and definitely get this house. Well, don't do that. Because anything you offer over the list price is paid in cash. In other words, you have to bring $50,000 to the table. In the bid I suggested, you have to bring $10 to the table, and you're going to get a 50% reduction in the cost. And your agent, though, is going to miss out on a commission, because on those kind of deals, HUD doesn't pay a commission to the realtor. So your realtor needs to build his commission into the offer. So you're going to make your offer look like this. We offer $150,000 plus. We want to put 6% in there for the realtor. So we're raising our offer by the 6% so that it's financed and they can pay the realtor out of escrow. And then we'll bring a check to the closing table for $10 for the overbid price. And that's the way that goes down. If the realtor fails to put in his commission, then we have an issue. Now we have a realtor who's done a bunch of work and he's not going to get payday. So you want to be real careful of that. If you want to talk more about it, give us a call. At, where is it? It's 800. Excuse me, it's 888-627-6008. And we can talk about it. Or call us at the offices. Go on to 203K911 and .com and go down to the message or contact form. Fill it out, and we'll start a conversation. We'll get on the phone eventually, but I like to know who I'm talking to before I just get a cold call questioning me all about the programs, okay? So, anyway, it has been wonderful. We appreciate you being here. What else can I tell you about? Let's see here. Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week on Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This broadcast is coming to you from our Las Vegas offices in Nevada. And we love to see you. So if you're coming this direction and want to ride a trip off, be sure to stop and see us too. We look forward to seeing you next time. Please bring your questions and plan on calling the program, because we have much more fun if we get callers. Breaks up the monotony and you don't have to hear my voice so much. Next week, I think we're going to be doing a basics, a 203K basics talk. It should be enough time to get that whole thing in there. I'll tell you what you can, can't do with the 203K. If you want to see the advanced paperwork on that, go to 203KOnline.com. That's 203KONLINE.com. Scroll down to the handy PDFs. You'll see the basic PDF there and the procedure. Print those two forms and read along with me on next Sunday. Look forward to seeing you. Thank you and God bless you.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now, and let's get your home makeover projects done right.